This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good day before vacation, everybody.
For you.
I am Glenn the Geek. Who the hell am I? I'm Glenn the Geek from where is that place? Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 21st, episode 1282, brought to you by Back on Track Products. Good morning, horse world.
All right, Doc, what's going on, huh? Where are we? When are we?
We're descending toward Hill Valley, California on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
2015?
The future.
Unbelievable.
Hoverboard.
Where is he?
Gotta come back with me.
Where?
Back to the future. October 21st, 2015.
Oh, the excitement. That movie is 30 years old, Jamie.
You know, what I realized is that tomorrow they would have gone back to the past.
That's right. Were they only there for one day?
That's so painful. Well, I don't know. I mean, remember Biff like took over and they were all wearing metal on their head and they had hoverboards.
It's been so long since I've seen that movie. I kind of don't remember what happens anymore.
I wonder if it's going to be on like every channel today.
Guaranteed. Sci-fi, every channel. And what happened to the hoverboard and the flying cars? Where are those exactly?
I'm a little irritated about that. And I posted a video on my Facebook page and I'll share it with the horses in the morning. And it kind of does a side-by-side comparison of the things that were in the future and the things that we have now, which are the future.
Oh.
And it's kind of frustrating. Like, I'm pretty irritated that we don't have some things. I was promised in my youth a hoverboard and a jacket that would dry you and all sorts of things. And I don't have any of it. And I'm getting irritated.
Did they have anything that looked like a cell phone of today?
I'm sure you just pushed a button on your ear and you could talk to somebody. I don't know.
Remember, that day's coming, though.
That's the thing. Another thing is the dehydrated pizza, and they hit the button, and it was this tiny little disc, and then they hit the button, and then it was this huge, giant, beautiful-looking pizza. So, I mean, certain things.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for the Star Trek days when I can talk to the wall and it spits out a complete dinner. I'm waiting for that day.
I would like that to, speaking of Star Trek, beam me over to Morocco. I'd like to, you know, see Moroccan
That's
horses.
True. That's true. We can get to your house much quicker Friday. We wouldn't have to worry about this, 12 hours of flying to get there.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to talk about that in just a second. We're going to, Jennifer, is he hard to deal with on a day like today where it's pre-vacation, it's Back to the Future Day? He's like a big little kid.
Oh, yes. Yes. There's been jumping up and down and distracted and yeah.
See, I'm going to try and watch Back to the Future on Netflix tonight. Do you think Netflix is going to be crashing? Like none of us are going to be able to watch anything.
I don't know. I don't know. They're probably ready for it, but I think it'll be on TV too. I'm going to go hit my DVR because I don't want to watch commercials. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Netflix crashes even when there's not a run.
That's true.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Very good point.
Coming up on today's Back on Track Wednesday edition, we go behind the scenes at Woodbine Racetrack with Chaplain Sean, and we'll get the Lexington vibe from the Breeders' Cup thanks to Brian Pettigrew, and we're going to hit up some of the week's best horsey headlines and hopefully a trip across the pond to visit with Horse and Country TV. So hop on your hoverboard and join the fun.
Thank you, Jennifer. I still haven't changed it. We had to go back and find the one we liked and change
that.
We're still
on the hunt for the perfect birthday.
Yeah, I don't
think
we found the perfect one yet. I don't think
there's one that's been really close, but it's not Chili.
No, it's not Chili or Scooter. Alice Yovich, of course, who does our trail riding episode here once a month on Horses in the Morning for the NATRC. Happy birthday to her. So that's my birthday for the day.
You need to cancel your vacation because you're going to the wrong place, Glenn.
You're going to the wrong place.
What you need to be doing, because I know about your deep felt, heartfelt love and desire for all things My Little Pony.
Barbecue? No. Okay.
All things My Little Pony, Glenn. And where you need to be going is Tokyo. If you go to Tokyo, you can go to an entire My Little Pony themed cafe. It's in downtown Tokyo. It's providing bronies who inhabit the Japanese capital the perfect hangout. The downtown cafe features a giant My Little Pony mural for diners to admire as they munch on the pony-themed items on the menu. Also, you get a cappuccino topped with pony art. They actually draw in the cappuccino, little things, you know, like Guinness does the clovers. Bronies, the name given to the Brotherhood of Fans who enjoyed the My Little Pony television series, are said to be able to enjoy top-notch pancakes at the establishment. My Little Pony pancakes! Everything about the cafe has a My Little Pony twist, from the life-size Twilight Sparkle who greets customers at the door. But it does not appear, sadly, to be a permanent fixture, Glenn. So you got to get over there soon, because it is running out of the Sunday Jam Pancake Restaurant. It's kind of a pop-up cafe and will only reportedly remain open until November 29th. Oh, my gosh.
My little pony.
That's it. You only have until November 29th to get down to Tokyo, Japan, Glenn, to go to the My Little Pony Cafe. And we know how you love My Little Pony.
Yes, I'll be lining up for that. But, you know, I did take a look at what the options were in Sedona when we're going to be there next week. And there is an E.T.-inspired restaurant. Have you been to the E.T. restaurant yet?
I have not. Tell me more.
I don't know. I just know that there's an E.T. restaurant. It's completely decked out in sci-fi and E.T. stuff, and I've got to go.
Oh, my gosh. Well, they do think in Sedona that, like, aliens land there, and there's, like, energy vortexes and, like, time stops. Ooh. It's total X-Files.
I wanted to ask you about that, because when I was taking a look at the various things to do and trips and stuff, about half of them are spiritual and enlightened and, you know, hug the earth and get back to nature. And they have seance trips, and it's very mystical there, apparently.
Yes. That is very true. Although I've been hiking and they'll tell you like where the energy vortexes are. First of all, I don't know what a vortex is. Second of all, when you're hiking, there's no sign that says vortex here. Like, apparently I think you're supposed to
feel it. Halfway out and have to turn around and come back. The energy is the one thing you need and it never seems to show up.
Ridiculous. Yeah. I don't understand Sedona. I do know that you can go and buy magical crystals in many different stores. Okay. And there's coffee shops that do crystals and yoga. It's a really bizarre place. I really think you're going to enjoy it just to take pictures, but it is very interesting.
I never knew what Sedona was. Ask me what I booked in Sedona while we're there.
Oh my gosh, what did you book?
Well,
are you doing a yoga class?
No, we're not doing a yoga class. No, I actually want to survive the trip. So now, and flexibility is not one of my strong points.
Well, no, because remember, that's a place that did like the hot yoga and they put everybody in these things and people died. Like, that's where that happened.
Oh, it is? It is.
Yeah, like the sweat, the sauna sweat thing, sweat lodges.
Great, great. We used to have to do that in wrestling package, lay under the mats to lose weight. I had enough of that. So now I did, Jennifer said to me, she said, oh, look at this. You can do trail riding in Sedona. That would be so cool. And then I reminded her that for some reason you think you're going to get me on a horse. You know, a couple days before we go to Sedona, and then we're going to go out to Monty Roberts' place, Flag Is Up Farm, and then Debbie thinks she's going to get me on a horse. And I said, that's two weekends in a row on horses. I ain't doing horses in the middle of the week. So I think you owe me one because I'm going to be getting on horses. So guess what we're doing? We're doing a Segway tour.
What? Oh my gosh, you are joking, right?
No, like, I am a geek. I've never ridden the Segway. I want to ride a Segway. So we're doing a Segway tour. We're going to be one of those dorky people.
I'm going to laugh at you.
Do you know what the guy's name is? I called him up yesterday and I said, you know, I need to do an interview with you because, you know, this kind of horse at least doesn't poop and eat. And he was all funny. He definitely seemed like he should belong in Sedona because his name was Pancake.
No. Well, he probably needs to go to Tokyo and have some My Little Pony themed pancakes because that's their specialty over there.
I cannot wait to talk to Pancake when we get there. And I wondered if he was the brother of Potato, the guy who we interviewed who won the Tevis Cup this year.
I thought you were going to say that's the guy you booked a hotel room at.
I don't know. That could be too. I did that online. Who knows who's going to show up there? But it could be very interesting.
Yeah, Sedona is an interesting place. How many nights are you staying there? Just one?
Two nights in Sedona, and I'm also booking a helicopter tour.
Really?
Yeah, I want to do the helicopter tour through the Red Rocks and stuff there. Jennifer doesn't do helicopters, so I'll be on my own for that one.
Segway is going to be pretty boring after a helicopter ride. And, you know, my husband, the fighter pilot, won't get in a helicopter if he doesn't have to. So good luck with that.
Okay, yeah, they're so much fun. They don't crash very often. I probably have more of a chance crashing driving to Sedona.
His thought is that at least if a plane, the engine goes out, you can at least coast it to the ground.
Yeah, how well does that work out for most of those guys?
Well, yeah, I got no shot in a helicopter.
Yeah, but see, he's got that extra added button to push to eject. You know, that's how most of them survive.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
he's got that nice parachute strapped right to his little back.
Yeah, well, I still am planning on giving you tofu, although I think I'm going to have to cook that maybe Friday night. So you're going to have a tofu meal. You're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be great.
I got an email from Dr. Ellen that said, good luck with that tofu.
Whether you like it or not. Well, our first guest is actually on the line, and we have talked to him before, and he is an absolute delight. And this is our continuing the behind the scenes at Woodbine. And we've got our friend Chaplain Sean Kennedy on the line. And for those who don't remember, this is him from the last time we interviewed him.
Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. I was late.
You were super
late.
I'm
in the wrong place. And my computer is not cooperating.
Oh, this would have been perfect.
I would have been perfect had I not screwed it up. Oh, here we go.
There are some horses even God can't help.
And I'm sure he's very happy to be known by that. Sean, how are
They're
you?
Still the same horses.
They're still there.
How are you doing?
Fantastic. How are you up there and behind the scenes at Woodbine?
Well, we're doing well. Our meet is we're about 5 weeks and a little bit more to. Seeing the end of the meet, so we're kind of winding down. We just had a huge weekend last weekend, the Canadian International and two other world-class turf races were run, so it was a huge weekend, and we're just things start to wind down
now. Let's tell everybody a little bit about yourself. You've been married to your wife for 30 plus years.
33 plus years. Keep it as that. Yeah, you 33 years now.
You can't screw up if you say 30 plus.
Exactly. That's right. Exactly. Yeah.
And you have a couple grown kids. And tell everybody kind of what your job is at Woodbine.
Well, I'm the chaplain at Woodbine, so I am responsible for the people that work on the backstretch here in the barn area. So there's about 2,000 people that look after about 2,000 horses, and they do that 7 days a week. So my responsibility as chaplain is to present a present God to the people, so to speak, all the days that I'm out here. And we do that by means of a chapel service, which we just had one last night, but also in very practical ways as well. So it encompasses many, many things.
So to paint a picture for everybody who might not have heard you last time, there's 2,000 people. There's basically, like when I worked at Keeneland, there was small rooms in the barns for grooms to live in. Now, I believe at Woodbine, they have dormitories?
Yes, Woodbine has two dormitories here, yeah. So they can house probably about 800 people in them. And there's actually people that can they live year-round here at Woodbine, even when the meet is closed. So it's housing for them year-round.
And so the community of people that live in the dormitories and live behind the scenes at a racetrack, kind of paint a picture of tell us what type of people do that. Like, these are dedicated horse people, but also, yep, you know, they sometimes may not be on the highest point of their life as at the same time, which is where you come in.
And those who are caring for the horses, I mean, again, these are people who have started at a certain point in their life on the racetrack. Maybe when they're young and they're actually lifers, they've been here their whole life. This is all they know. Generally they don't have the most formal education. It's laborious work. It's, manual labor. So you're caring for horses. So you have people who are called hot walkers, and that's kind of your entry level job here where you can do the least damage. So you're cooling a horse out after it exercises by walking it, or after it races, or after it has a workout. And then you have the people who I think are the hardest working people in the entire universe, and that's grooms. And grooms, they care for the horses. So they muck out their stalls in the morning. They'll bandage the horses up. They'll prepare them for training. They'll brush them down later, give them a bath, brush them down, the whole nine yards. They just care for them. They come back and feed them. And so they are incredibly attached to their horses as well. Much like people get attached to, I was listening to a story this morning about a person who had a dog, how much he loved his dog and stuff like that. And in the same way, horses and their grooms are very, very close. And then you have exercise riders. These are people who get on the horses in the morning. Some work them out. Some take them out for light exercise and what have you. And but they are. I used to be an exercise rider, so I can safely say that we are the laziest and the most overpaid. So and we whine the most too. So,
I resemble that remark. I was an exercise rider too.
There you go. Exactly. So I mean, and the grooms are the hardest working. I just take my hat off to them constantly for the amount of work that they do.
Right. Right. And so a lot of these people, their lifestyle is behind the scenes at the track, and you know, sometimes I know with my experience of working at the track, there's a lot of wonderful, excellent people there, but there's also some people that kind of are down on their luck and get into trouble, and there's drugs and there's all sorts of problems that kind of go along with that lifestyle. And your job is to kind of lift those people up, right?
Absolutely. And you know what the thing is, there's a couple of scenarios that we have now. One is there's a huge labor shortage right now at almost every racetrack, but especially here at Woodbine. So, years ago, when I first started here at Woodbine, the first year I was here at Woodbine, if you had a problem, they'd just throw you in a ditch or something, right? Throw you off the track. Now, because they need to, there's much more compassionate outlook on the workers here as far as caring for them, helping them to recover from whatever situation that they're in. And so that is a big part of security here. And we're part of that as well. So there's some scenarios where people are mandated. They have to come and see me. And you know, we do offer counseling and what have you. We also, you know, have situations where people, and I continue to tell people, the number one problem we have here is loneliness. People just pour their hearts out to animals and their job and what have you. And then they go back to their room and then they start it all over again tomorrow. And many times they wonder, what the heck am I, you know, I'm doing, you know, everybody loves the horses, nobody loves me kind of thing. So mm-hmm. we try to love the people who aren't being loved that much at times.
Now, Chaplain Sean, I remember from last year, I think that you also belonged to a greater organization that was trying to put more chaplains in more tracks. Am I remember that correctly?
Yes. Yeah. We're part of the Racetrack Chaplaincy of Canada. So, that's we're kind of cousins to the Racetrack Chaplaincy of America, but we are distinct entity.
Is it working? I mean, is more and more of it happening?
It, not as much as we'd like. We do have a full-time chaplain here for our standard bred, so that's helped quite a bit. One of the things that's happening in racing in Canada is the smaller tracks are having shorter and shorter meets. So it is hard to put people there. But what we've been able to do is get some volunteers from various organizations to kind of plug the holes. We're fortunate at Woodbine. This is one of the biggest tracks in the world. So, you know, it can afford a full-time chaplain. And the same with the standardbreds industry, they can afford one as well. But for the smaller ones, what we're trying to get is some volunteers from some organizations like the Salvation Army and what have you to plug the holes in those tracks.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Now, so with the close of the meet, you said that some people stay there. Do horses stay there at the end of the meet, or does everybody ship south? What does it look like when the meet's over?
Once it is a ghost town within 3 days of the last race. All horses have to be off the ground within 3 days, and some do ship to the United States, some go south. Some just go to farms here and are wintered here and wait for spring training to resume. So that is the two main areas where they go at the end of the meet. They're either going to go south or they're going to go to a farm and rest up for a little bit.
So do they throw you out on a farm?
No, they don't. And I keep volunteering. Please toss me.
Give me some alfalfa and let me go.
Yeah, exactly. Just toss me in a field and don't put me up in 3 months. No, we're here. You know, we do take Christmas and New Year's off and what have you. And I do get a little vacation over the winter, but we are here and we're available, you know, all the time by phone. And then we are formally open 3 days a week here at our multi-purpose center. It's called the Jake Howard Center. And we're open here 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for people over the winter. But also, we'll connect with people anytime. Now, and sometimes there's emergencies and everything.
The front end is open, though, right? Because they still do off-track betting and all of that?
Yes, they do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
like Breeders' Cup, I assume you get a few people come over for Breeders' Cup weekend.
It's huge. Yeah, it's a big weekend and things swell a little bit more. Absolutely, it's the same as Kentucky Derby Day.
Yeah,
things are a little bit more. But our days this year, we've been very fortunate on the three big days of the year, which is Queen's Plate Day, Woodbine Mile Day, and International Day. We've set records on all 3 days,
so wow. It's
been very, very successful. Yeah.
Well, that's terrific. And I know that racing in Canada has seen, just like here in the United States, has seen some ups and downs and, you know, has a few issues that they're trying to overcome. So that's good to hear.
Yeah. No, it's you know, we're doing it right. And in many ways, there's still a learning curve. But, you know, it is the big days we're having have become very big days. And it's much like, and I keep telling people, this is kind of like the modern, you know, your average church, you know, or let's call it the North American church. You know, you have Easter, Christmas, those are the big days, maybe Thanksgiving as well. So you got to shoot for the big days and do it right on the big days, because for sure that's when people are going to come. And so they've done that very well on Queen's Plate, Wood by Mile, and International Day.
Must be very exciting. Now, the people that are living in the dormitories and on the backside during the off time, how do they, is the track kitchen still open? How are they able to make money? Are they able to take care of themselves? Or is it just kind of hole up and live out the winter kind of thing?
That is kind of the mindset. I think every person that's here sleeps for about 2 straight weeks after the meet is over. That they don't, you know, then like hibernating bears, they'll get up and kind of move around. But no, the restaurant isn't open here. And we're kind of aware of people, and we do offer some benevolence to make sure people are eating. We put on a big Christmas lunch. Plus we have gift bags for everybody and what have you. Uh-huh. And because this is the only Christmas that they'll have, you know, is here. And we do keep tabs with the security to make sure people are doing okay and what have you. So you know, we're kind of aware of what people are going through. Some go on unemployment, some do work at other places and work on farms and what have you. So that is a factor as well.
Man, if I'm going to be a backside worker, I want to go to Woodbine. I mean, my gosh, you're just not, it sounds like nobody's alone there. And I think what you do is fantastic, because you're right. They do need people to work there. We need people to take care of these horses and to be there all the time. And it's definitely a unique individual that can go and live on the backside of a track and be to kind of have that lifestyle. And you are just making it so much easier for those people.
Well, I appreciate that. I've got to tell you about a little, this great story. And as I'm speaking to you, I'm watching some people file in here. So 2 years ago, an organization called Rexdale Community Health, and you know, we have, you know, healthcare here in Canada. So, when you wander into a hospital, they ask you what's wrong with you, not do you have health insurance. So that is a real blessing for us.
Bragger. Yeah.
2 years ago, we had an organization called Rexdale Community Health, and it is a, you know, it's like a little community health center, like a clinic that is part of that system. They contacted Woodbine and thought they were talking to a mall called Woodbine Mall. And the lady said, no, you're talking to Woodbine Racetrack. And they wanted to come and do a diabetes screening clinic here. And she says, no, we're Woodbine Racetrack. And she's just about to hang up the phone. She says, well, just hang on. I'll give you the number of the chaplain. Maybe talk to him. So long story short, these gals come out and we do a diabetes screening clinic, and they do flu shots and what have you. And they got very excited and said, you know what, we'd like to do more. We need to get out into the public more. And we didn't even know there was this many people here.
Wow.
And so they come out now every Wednesday, and there's a gal that leads us in a yoga class, and we have a chiropodist nurse that comes out that looks at feet. We're a dietitian. We have a diabetes specialist nurse. She, you know, they come out. But then, you know, wait, there's more. You know, this is like the late night advertising. Wait, there's more. So they contact us with the local college here that has a nursing program. And now we have third year nursing students who come out on Tuesday and Wednesday for 2 months as part of their curriculum. To walk around, to talk to people, to connect with people as to what their health concerns and everything are.
Wow.
Now. So we actually have today, we have all these people coming in. So we've been really blessed with that. It's just kind of fallen in our laps and we've run with it. So that's been just super for us.
That's fantastic. What a great thing. And you're right, to just be able to treat people and not ask for insurance cards, that's definitely got to be something that sure makes your job
easier.
We
don't know what that's like, by the way.
No.
We have no idea what you're talking about.
No.
You think you're in heaven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, it's been so fantastic to talk to you. It sounds like you got to get going. So we really appreciate, of course, everything that you do for all the people there, and you're just a great guy. And thank you so much for coming on and painting a picture of Woodbine. It sounds like just such a great place to be. Just such a great place, frontside and backside.
At some point, you guys got to just come on and head up here and have a visit in person, you know, and take it in. You know, especially summer, because you know how cold it is up here.
Yeah, we're not coming up in the winter, right? I got to tell you.
Okay, well,
Thank you, Sean.
Oh, come on. Great talking to you guys again.
All right.
Bye.
All right.
Chaplain Sean Kennedy. Okay. Thanks. Chaplain Sean Kennedy from Woodbine Racetrack. Gosh, that place just sounds awesome, doesn't it? Just
Woodbine
in and out. Yeah. They just take care of everything. I love it.
Woodbineentertainment.com, I think it's the website. You can find there.
Did we lose you, Glenn?
Up. Am I not with you? Oops. I'm still here.
Are you there? Hello? Oh, I think Jennifer's gone. Play a song. Oh, everybody's gone. Am I still on? What happened? Where'd everybody go?
When you know that you've got what it takes, what a difference the feeling makes, and when everyone's dreaming the dream.
Clayton Fredericks with Will to Win. Can you hear me now, Jamie?
I think I can hear you. I think that when Sean left, God just said, shut it down.
Yeah, I did. That's exactly what happened. I tried to hang up on him and the whole thing locked up. So we never went off the air. We're still good. So
was I talking to myself going,
yeah,
hello?
Yeah, well, actually, we heard you, but you apparently could not hear us. So I don't know what was going on there.
Gone. I hate it when that happens because I never know if anybody can hear me. And I'm like, hello?
Anybody,
I'm on your hoverboard.
Anybody listening live could let Jamie, I don't even have my Facebook open, let Jamie and Jennifer or somebody know that you can still hear us. That'd be good. We haven't had one of those situations in a long time. Remember, that used to happen to us every day.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes, it did. Very sad.
Well, let's hear from our friends at Back on Track Products. And then we have for you an interview. You know what? I don't even know that I'm going to be able to play this interview right away. Well, that's fun.
Figure it out while we listen to our commercial.
What's that?
You can figure it out while we listen to what Back on Track has to say.
Dawn can hear us.
Dawn can hear us. Yeah, Dawn.
She can hear us.
That's good, Dawn. We're glad to hear that. I got a little bit of an issue here with this. So I have a
news story if I can do.
Why don't you and Jennifer talk for a minute about the news story and I'll figure this out. It's been a technology day beginning about 6 o'clock this morning. So,
you know, you're going on vacation. You've sabotaged everything. You don't even care about us anymore. You're gone already. Jennifer. Okay. Let's talk a little Breeders' Cup because we do have a guest coming up that's going to talk about the Breeders' Cup that you guys talked to yesterday because apparently, like, they have a lot of stuff going on. So he couldn't join us live. But just the second to last workout for American Pharoah happened yesterday. And he worked six, they're training him, man, hardcore. He worked 6 furlongs in 110 yesterday morning. And he had the bullet work, which is, for all the horses that worked that distance, he had the fastest time.
Wow.
So he had the bullet work for 6 furlongs yesterday. And they are saying that he'll have one more easy workout on Monday. And then officially Tuesday morning, he's going to ship to Keeneland. So Tuesday morning, the classic is Saturday. I think hopefully they're getting a little smarter about giving him a little more time to settle in. Because now it seems like that's a little bit better than... Because
they ship on Wednesday or Thursday? By Wednesday, though. I think that's the latest they're allowed to come in.
Really, well, gosh, can you imagine how crazy Keelan is going to be? Like Wednesday when all the horses get there out on the track. I would so be there at 5 a.m. if I could. Now, the other news that happened is our favorite filly, Beholder. She actually had a health scare yesterday. Gosh, I feel like I'm giving like Hollywood gossip news. Like, okay, Beholder like totally had a health scare yesterday. She spiked a temperature. She shipped in from Southern California. I'm assuming on an airplane. Hopefully, God forbid she was on a van across the country. But she shipped in yesterday and had a fever. And she did miss the Breeders' Cup last year because she had some shipping fever. So they treated her with antibiotics and gave her all sorts of stuff. They were concerned about her because of her history. And they said she looks great this morning. So her temperature is back to normal. Yesterday, they said she had a temperature. She was depressed. Her blood work showed some elevated white blood cell count. So that's kind of signs for pneumonia, and they're really scared about that. But I guess today she's doing a lot better. She's feeling better. She's bright and alert, and her temperature is back to normal. So our filly is, I was like, oh my gosh, like if she ships out again and doesn't get to run, and I don't even know what to do. I mean, what would you do? It's so terrible. And then Honor Code is looking good, so I don't have any news on him. So those are kind of my three horses to watch for sure.
Yeah. Beholder is entered in the classic.
Yes, she is running. I know she's running against all the boys. The last time that happened, yeah, that was our girl Zenyatta. So I think it's going to be quite the race. I'm super excited. She's won Breeders' Cup races in the past. She's no stranger to Breeders' Cup races. She won the she's never won the classic, but she won the juvenile fillies in 2012. She won the distaff in 2013 and missed it with a lung infection last year. So that's why they were totally freaked out about her, the temperature and the lung infection today or yesterday, but she's looking better. So that's good news. Now, the not so good news is William Fox Pitt. He does remain stable. His condition is unchanged, but he's still sedated. I mean, that's so scary. William Fox Pitt is like, do you know he has won 55 international three-day events, not competed in? One. He has won 14 four-stars.
Who the next one down the line is. You know, he won 50, but probably the next person in line is like 20.
I know. I mean, I can't even imagine. He was a medalist in 3 different Olympic Games. He has been on the team for Great Britain since he was a teenager. And he has won gold and individual silver at the 2010 WEGs. He won team silver at the London 2012 Olympics. He won team silver at the 2004 Athens Olympics and team bronze in 2008. I mean, this guy, here's his 55 CCIs. Those are international 3 days events. He's won 14 four stars. He won badminton 2004, 2015, first rider in history to win badminton on a stallion. He's won Burley six times. He's won Le Moulin. He's won Poe twice. And he's won Rolex three times. Did not just competed in. Like, people died to just compete in one international event. Hell, I just want to go training level. You know, so, the fact that this guy does this is just absolutely amazing. My God, can I just keep a horse sound for training? Seriously?
Yeah, anyway. Your goal is to get to the Kentucky Horse Park and do the training level 3-day event.
Yes, I just want to do a training level 3 days someday in my life. Someday. God's sake.
That's coming up in 2 weeks, too.
Is it really?
Yeah. That was always on my bucket list back in the day when I was competing, was to, because even back then they had the little three days for training levels for all us wannabes, and never got to do it. So,
well,
I will live vicariously through you, Jamie. I'll be your 10-minute box crew.
That'd be great. You can even be at my 10-minute box crew for a novice 3-day. They have novice 3 days at Coconino.
Oh
yes,
my gosh.
They've had it for a couple years now.
What are the steeplechase is literally a line of marigolds on a cross rail.
No, it's pretty amazing. The steeplechase, the reason I never did the 3-day with Jet is, I'm sorry, fighter jet does not need to be on a track galloping over fences.
No.
Like, there was just no part of him that needed to do that. He had qualified for the training 3-day too. And I was like, I'll die. I will die taking this horse on a trail, because the 3-day that they have up there, it is on a racetrack, your steeplechase. And I thought, you know, this horse is going to buck me off anyway, but throw him on a racetrack and jump brush fences, not going
to
happen.
No, that would be counterproductive to say the least.
Yes. So all that work that we've done to get him calm, not going to happen. So there, it is a special horse who can do a 3-day. That is for sure. But back to William Buxbaum, we definitely send him the best. And I guess they're just kind of keeping him medically induced because he did have that head injury. The statement came out last night. So his wife, Alice, has thanked well-wishers for the support. She said it means a huge amount. So what he's like Superman. I mean, this is like, just awful. Just awful.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think maybe I'm going to take the positive outlook. Maybe I'm a pie in the sky person. Stable and unchanged is better than worse.
Yeah, no, for sure. Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely think that. Now, Glenn had posted a list. Is Glenn ever coming back, or are we done with him?
Glenn is racing madly back and forth between Studio A and Studio B. And keeping busy. Now, he says it's a good time to go to another song so that he can dink around with the computer that plays things. So we're going to take a break, and we're going to listen to Driving Down the List. It's just like the big wheel on The Price is Right. And we're going to listen to Glenn's deciding. I can do this. Here we go.
Oh my gosh, pick a song. Oh yeah.
But it's gonna be hard. I can get through this, 'cause I've got the scars to prove I had before. I've been through this war, and I have survived. I'm still alive. I can do this. It's gonna take time. I've learned to live with everything that life has held.
Listeners have been asking why Back on Track products work and what is the science behind them. Well, they have evolved from a combination of ancient Chinese wisdom and modern science, as well as skilled textile production. This result is a polyester polypropylene fabric with a ceramic powder that's melted into the fabric's very own weave. The ceramic particles reflect body heat as an infrared wave, a form of energy with a highly documented pain-relieving effect. This reflected heat helps to ease inflammation, reduce muscle pain, and increase blood circulation. Back on Track products can be used to warm up your horse's muscles before exercise, thus reducing the risk of strains or injury. Most importantly, the product's dual capacity to prevent injury, as well as ease and expedite the recovery of already present injuries, is what makes Back on Track products so unique. I hope that helps as to why their products are so effective. Visit them at backontrackproducts.com. That's backontrackproducts.com. Okay, I'm back.
All right. I got the Back on Track boots, by the way.
Oh,
just so
you
know, I have the exercise front boots and I love them. I got them in Norman size. He needed some boots. So I thought he needs all the therapy he can get, by God. Sorry. Carry on. Are we good with the sound? Everything's good to go?
I think we might be. I think it might be ready. So what this is an interview we did last night. He couldn't be here this morning because I actually had a real press conference with like NBC, you know.
Whatever.
And we got to talk to a very interesting guy. His name is Brian Pettigrew. He's the Senior Vice President of Marketing for the Breeders' Cup World Championships and the Breeders' Cup Challenge on NBC and NBCSN, NBC Sports Network. And we got to talk to him last night for a little bit, and this is his interview. If I have it queued up correctly, you might actually hear it. So what a day. This always happens the day before you go on vacation, all that crap, you know. Try it.
Is it going to work?
I don't know. We'll see. You guys are going to get the Breeders' Cup. I imagine the atmosphere there at Keeneland is just crazy right now.
It is. We're so excited to be in Lexington, and the business community is supporting this Breeders' Cup like no other. And it's been just fun to be working around the folks over at Keeneland. They are working tirelessly to, you know, pull this off and make it a great event for everybody.
Well, you know, they're normally excited anyway. They have great meets there. They always bring in tons of people, standing room only crowds on an average day.
Right.
What
right.
have they expanded the seating and all of that at all? I mean, on average day, it gets crowded there watching the races.
Sure. For this year's Breeders' Cup, we brought in chalets and temporary loge boxes, and the total capacity will be right around 45,000, and that will include everything from temporary chalets, trophy lounges, the Maker's Mark Bourbon Lounge, which will hold about 3,500 people. All the way to the hill where they have, you know, Keeneland's very unique and they, one of the only racetracks that I'm aware of that has tailgating. And up on the hill, they will have a live band and betting windows, food trucks that have come in from around the region to feed the folks up there. And people will be tailgating and watching the races on a big Jumbotron screen there.
That's terrific. And I know Keeneland does not have an infield like some of the other tracks do as far as a party is concerned. So they do it up. And that's actually kind of on the right side, right? Outside
Correct.
The track there. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, I wanted to talk to you a little bit before we get into talking about the races. And I know there's a lot going on there, too. There's a heck of a party going on next week.
Yeah, we, you know, this Breeders' Cup Festival is being supported by the local community, and there is something literally for everybody all week long, beginning on Saturday the 24th. Everything from thoroughbred makeover type events to concerts downtown, 5K run walk. Different kind of chefs, celebrity chefs coming in to cook at some of the different restaurants. The museums have really opened up and put museums and some of the local artists have put a lot of equestrian artwork and memorabilia out there for fans coming in to see. But it's, you know, Lexington is really, for us, has stepped up and shown how excited they are putting on the festival all week long. And every night there's, you know.
It kind of reminds me, this is really the biggest thing that happened since WAGON 2010.
You're exactly right.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people compare it to is the World Equestrian Games. And the city's been great to work with, as well as the state, and just some of the things that they're putting into this to make sure that everybody has a good time.
That's great. Jennifer? Hold on.
I'm here.
There you go.
So have any of the horses that will be running in the Breeders' Cup arrived at Keeneland yet?
Sure. We've probably one of the bigger stars arrived yesterday. Beholder came in from the West Coast.
Woo-hoo.
And, so she's ready to take on the boys in the Classic. And so she's arrived. And then there's been a handful of other horses that have arrived, and we actually had our pre-entries yesterday, so we've got about 200, right around 200 horses that we're expecting to start arriving between now and next Wednesday when they have to be on site at Keeneland. Mm-hmm.
So I know during regular race meets at Keeneland, the mm-hmm. public can come in on certain mornings early and watch the horses work, and I think they call it breakfast at Keeneland, I think they call it.
Right.
Very popular and totally needs to be on every horse person's bucket list. Is that type of experience still available during the Breeders' Cup, or is that a little bit more restricted?
Yes, no. Or that's like one of those TV commercials. Yes, no.
Yes, no.
Yes, it's open to the crowd, and it won't be restricted. It will be open just like it is on any normal Saturday sunrise at Keeneland. It will be taking place every morning, beginning actually this Sunday, the 25th.
Can we change our plane ticket?
Yeah, that is one of the coolest things ever. Because it's chilly there and it's cool and the horses, it's just, you're right by the track. It is so cool.
It really is. And we've got a, what's kind of unique about Keeneland also is we don't have, the Keeneland meet ends on Saturday. So most of the horses that will be working out Sunday through next week will be Breeders' Cup horses. So there won't be as many horses, but the ones that will be working out will be Breeders' Cup horses. And we'll have a commentator telling what they're doing and what kind of workouts they're doing and kind of giving some interesting facts to the crowd.
That's really cool because when you go to any big race meet, whether it's one of the Triple Crown races or you go mm-hmm. to the Breeders' Cup, there's only a limited number of eyes that can actually see the horses through the crowds of 40,000 or 100,000. It's just, you can't see through other humans. And this is such a great opportunity for people to come out early in the morning and be right there up close and smell the sweat on the Breeders' Cup champions to be. That's a really great idea.
It really is. And we've got coffee, juice, and donuts and all kinds of
donuts are really good.
All kinds of options for people that want to come out and watch them.
Now, you brought up the classic. This is turning out with the lineup Keen Ice and American Pharoah and Beholder and, you know, some of the others that are in this race. This is really turning out to be one of the biggest Breeders' Cups in a long time, classics.
Yeah, it could be. It really could be one of the best classics ever. We also have, I think, 5 returning champions that are coming back to the Breeders' Cup. So it's really just the whole weekend is going to shape up to be a good, you know, race day on Friday and Saturday. We've got the ARC champion coming in, Golden Horn, that is expected to start in the turf. And so we just, you know, it's kind of going to be a star-studded event like you'd expect the world championships to be.
Well, you're in the marketing side of things, right? On the sponsorship and marketing
Correct.
Side of things. Well,
mm-hmm.
hey, you know, being a salesman for a lot of years and selling advertising and that kind of thing, I want to hope that you're doing a good job because we love the fact that NBC is covering so much racing right now.
Oh, NBC is a terrific partner, and you know, last year we extended our TV contract with them for an additional 10 years. And they are putting more horse racing on TV each year and have just been great partners. We'll, of course, on Friday, we'll be on NBC Sports Network. And on Saturday, we'll start out on NBC Sports Network from 1 to 4 and then move over to NBC from 4 to 6 Eastern. And they've actually thrown in an extra kind of new twist for Breeders' Cup this year is called Betting the Breeders' Cup, and that will air Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday on NBC Sports Network.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. That was our interview with Brian Pettigrew, Senior Vice President of the Breeders' Cup World Championship. So everything is getting very exciting. I talked to Reese last night, Reese Koffler-Stanfield, who's in Lexington, and she said the atmosphere there, it feels just like WEG. She said it's just gearing up. So
that's awesome.
And Philip is actually flying down from Canada and going to spend the week there with Reese in Lexington.
I was just going to say
this is one of those weeks that I still wish we lived about 4 miles from there. You know.
Oh man! And with the Thoroughbred makeover going on today, it starts this week. I mean, the horses are getting there now. And didn't you say the first competition starts on Friday?
Friday, and it was like polo and reining or something like that. They have like
just so cool.
10 or 12 different. Activities that are going to be going on, different competitions and stuff with the Thoroughbreds. There are over 300 of them arriving. So
I'm curious to know, and maybe we can just look this up and find out. I'm dying to know, how much entry fees were for each class, or because you bought the horse for this show, part of it?
I don't remember how that worked. I don't remember how it worked, but I'll tell you who's going to be there. We'll do a little promo here for show tomorrow. It's Horse Husbands episode, and Elisa Wallace is going up, but not to compete. She's going to be one of the judges.
Did you see that she totally sprained her ankle and looks horrible and huge?
Oh, really? No, I didn't see that. So
I
Timothy's
feel so.
Playing nursemaid?
Yeah, I think so, probably. And from what I hear, they work so hard, he's probably mucking a bunch of stalls.
He's loving that.
super horse hubby. But yeah, oh my gosh, bless her heart. Yeah, so she probably needs a nice little break, so this will be great.
Yeah, she'll go up there and they'll push her around in the wheelchair.
Yeah.
So the Horse Husbands episode is tomorrow. This will let me make this kind of give you an insight of what's going to happen over the next week. This is the last live show for Horses in the Morning. However, we have pre-recorded a bunch of shows, so there'll be shows every day for every show we do. We're not missing an episode anywhere. We've worked our butts off over the last couple of weeks getting shows ready for you. So we have a bunch of new shows on Horses in the Morning for you, including tomorrow's Horse Hubby episode. And we'll see if it's again the top show of the month. We'll find out. And then we have a whole bunch of new shows for you next week, as well as some best ofs. And then on all the other shows on the network, we have new shows that we put together for you as well. We just recorded them ahead. So that's what's happening there. We will not be live again on Horses in the Morning until the 3rd of November, where we're coming back with Emily and the Jumping Show.
And I'll be here.
Are you going to do it? Oh, good.
I'll do that one. Oh, yeah, great. Heck yeah. I'm going to be broke after you guys take a... You guys could take a vacation. I have to take a vacation.
Let's remind everybody of what the challenge is for this weekend so they can tune in on Facebook.
Yes. Okay. So on Friday night, hopefully it'll be Friday, they are going to have tofu. That's challenge number one. Ugh. Tofu dinner for everyone, whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, you will go to bed
hungry.
Will
you smell if I sneak like Burger King into the house? Can you sniff that out?
Yes, there will be no
pizza delivery. Do you have pizza delivery?
So that's Thursday, and then Wednesday, Friday, and then Saturday morning. I'm just going to tell you guys this now.
Oh.
We are going to a Wild West festival, and I think if we go in the morning, it's pretty small. So I think a couple hours there should do it. It's not an all-day
thing.
Do we
get to shoot at each other?
I doubt they'll give you a gun.
Oh.
Probably not. So that is going to be, I might have a special surprise for you Friday afternoon. I'm trying to work it out. So you'll hear about that. Okay. And then Saturday night, I think.
You know how you hate surprises? Well, I do too. Especially when you're the one creating them.
I know. I told them, I said, when you land at the airport, rent your car and get to my house as soon as possible, because I have something I'm trying to get planned.
Okay.
And then Saturday night, I think we're going to go to the Arizona State Fair. Chad's going to watch the kid, and you, me, and Jen are going to go, because he wants nothing to do with a state fair in Kearney's. He's like,
really?
as anti-state fair as it can get. And I drove by it, and it looked really fun. So
we love, you know us, we love fairs. We love junk food. We love
ours. I know. And I'm going to see what kind of terrible things you put into your body when you eat.
Oh, yes. And I am going to eat them all right in front of you and enjoy and go, every minute.
It's disgusting. But after your healthy dinner of tofu Friday night, you can eat whatever you want.
Okay.
And then Sunday... Dun, dun, dun. It's the face-off.
Yes.
We are going to Turf Paradise Racetrack. Just opened
this
past
weekend. One of the classiest racetracks in America.
And we are going to have a handicappers festival. We are going to have a competition. It is on like Donkey Kong. I'm going to tell you that I'm going to read the program. Jennifer's going to pick from the pretty ones, and Glenn is going to pick names. And we're going to see whose system works the best.
We're all going to start with like 50 or 60 bucks, and we're going, I'll start a post on Facebook, and we'll keep everybody informed after each race of where we're at.
And he will do that, because he does not have to study the program between races.
I have time. Matter of fact, 20 minutes between races is way too long for me. It always drives me insane. It's like,
oh my gosh, I'm always like, oh my God.
Give me 5 minutes. I'm good to go.
I don't have enough time.
Bring out the horses.
I need 45 minutes.
Plenty of time to update the Facebook page. So I will update after every race what our standings are dollar-wise.
Yes, and then Monday morning, they're getting the hell out of my house.
That's right, we're leaving because I can only eat so much tofu, and I have to find a barbecue place immediately when we leave.
Oh, you guys all fun. Then they head to Sedona, and they're going to worship crystals and do yoga and sweat boxes.
We're going to Grand Canyon. We've never been there before together, so that'll be fun. And then we're going to head over, and we're going to visit Pat and Debbie over at Flag Is Up Farm over at Monty Roberts' place.
Oh, so jealous.
I am so glad that you didn't say anything about a trail ride the whole weekend.
Oh, yeah. No, that's Sunday morning. Sorry, I did skip that. Sunday morning, we're going on a trail ride.
Oh, and do you have one that's safe for an old, inexperienced rider like me?
For those listening at home, Glenn will be sitting on fighter jet. No, I'm just kidding. Norman it is.
And Glenn will be spending the rest of the week in the hospital.
Yeah, we want to ruin his vacation.
Remember, no, we don't have that Canadian health care. Remember that.
You have to remember that you are a big dude and I have little horses for the kids. So you're going to ride Chad's horse, the Duke.
The Duke.
You will be riding the Duke, the horse that I bought sight unseen from listener Betty Faye, who is
if it's Betty Faye's horse, I'm good. I'm fine. Yeah.
You're
fine. Chad can ride it, I can ride it.
Jennifer will be riding Storm and Norman and schooling him for me.
There you go, Jennifer. You were saying you were getting a little bored with Beaker, so there you go.
Oh, listen, if you're getting bored, I got plenty of horses for you to attempt to risk your life on. Don't worry about that.
You know, we're not hearing a thing from Jennifer. She's totally quiet over there. You know,
I have to rethink which breeches I'm bringing. I have to get myself a new can of Stick'Em.
Yes.
And,
yes, and a seatbelt.
Don't worry. Nobody's ridden Norman since his leg injury 6 weeks ago, so it should be fine. I'm going to let you go first.
That just means that Jamie has not had time to put her bad influences on him, Jennifer.
Yeah.
He'll be pure.
That clean slate.
He's
that's
a clean,
right.
slate. Clean slate. Yes.
We've been line driving. That's all.
Yeah. And that's been very successful.
Yeah, very successful. We saw the pictures of him bucking endlessly during line driving. So.
Yeah, but it's he's better now.
Oh.
He's turned. And I got a new surcingle because he broke my last one.
Yeah, Jennifer's waiting for that. I think she really would love to take a ride in that Mustang, though. Have you ever ridden the Mustang, Jennifer?
Yes, we actually had one for a short period of time, if you remember.
We did?
He was a little stinker, but he was a,
little tiny
black one. He was like 13 hands.
I don't remember that at all.
I love Thor. He is my heart horse. I love him so much, but he's still a runaway. So I'm not going to let
him. He's your heart horse. No one else.
He's my heart horse.
Well, then I need to bring Scooter out. We can just go down the road together.
Yeah, but then you'd spook Chili because Chili doesn't like it when horses drive by. So listen, this is going to be a carefully managed event, okay? Of course, any listeners that are in the area, please show up on Sunday morning and watch this and document it. Hell, I'll put you on a horse. I don't care.
Well, that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to wrap things up because, you know, technology just is not our friend today. So we're lucky we're still here at all.
Anybody listening? Hello? We might not be. We might just be.
And I'm still on vacation mode. So I'm just Jennifer is already. She has literally packed everything in bags for not leaving till Friday morning. So I think if we were driving, we would be leaving early. But, you know, kind of got that flying thing going on. Well, I am looking forward to coming out and seeing you. It's been a while since we've seen each other, so that'll be fun. I think since Rolex, maybe 2 years ago.
Yeah, but you keep up with me on Facebook. I don't look any different. So everybody, thank you so much for listening. And I'm really sad. Let me just go ahead and throw this out that I am not going to be on the day before or after the Breeders' Cup, just so you know.
Yeah.
Poorly timed vacation on their part. But yeah. If you guys want to talk Breeders' Cup, please message me on Facebook or send me an email, jamie@horseradionetwork.com, because I'll chat about it. Let's do it. Let's do it. And you guys have a great flight. Be safe, Jennifer. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. She doesn't like flying. So anyway, have a great day, everybody.
And we'll talk to you.
This is weird. I'm on vacation, too.
Yes, you apparently are. Well, thanks, everybody. Tune in. Get the app. That's the best way to listen to our shows for the next week and a little bit. So we'll talk to you again in November.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
All right. Let's see if the closing music's going to work. If not, you need to sing.
Oh, I'll sing. I can sing.
Oh, look at it. Too bad
it works. Oh, come on.